Miss Erica is going to come in here and share something with you guys real quick. But before we do that, I want to share a testimony real quick that Mr. Aiden had an encounter yesterday. And it was really, really powerful. And so I'm just going to say this, Aiden. I've seen it before. I think I've even declared it over you before. But you have such a calling on your life to bring people into the kingdom. And the way you go about it with such a boldness, the Lord has got his hand on you, and he's marked you from before you were born. He thought about you and for this time. And yesterday, what your mom and dad have seen and known and whatnot, the rest of us got to see it in action. And so go ahead and just share what God did for you yesterday.
You can hold it. Just don't drop it. And keep it right there, okay?
So yesterday I just finished my Aunt Angie's, just finished cleaning her car, and I saw this man talking with his friend, and his car was all wet. So I walked up to him, and I was like, "Sir, would you like me to dry your car for you?" He said, "Yes, thank you." So I dried up his whole car, I did his wheels, I did everything. Then I asked him, "By any chance, do you need prayer over anything?" And then he told me, "Yes." So then I prayed over him, and him and his friend just looked at me like, "Wow." And later on, I was called back to him, and he just kept telling me, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." Then he took a selfie with me. Then Mr. Bill took a picture of me and him. And I was surprised after what I did. And I'm happy I was able to bring someone to the Lord, because I brought someone to the Lord. I've never done that before. And, well, first time experience.
Do this real quick. I want you all to stand up and like give praise for what just happened. Yeah, God is good. Amen. All right, sit down. So let me tell you, I want to say this in a way that's not shaming or guilt-filled. Okay, so here's what I think. What excuses do I have not to share Jesus with somebody? Right? This is like, man, this is the power of faith, and I'm excited for you. So thank you, Aiden. Miss Erica, why don't you go and come up and share, and then we're going to have her pray over our kiddos.
So I'm going to share about yesterday, because I was here for announcements, but sure, that sounds wonderful. Hey, guys. I'm Miss Erica. I'm children's director. My testimony was I got sunburned on the back of my calves. So I wasn't the happiest at the beginning because I was burning up, but that's okay. Keep on going. Because in the end, I ended up meeting a mother that actually the day before the prayer team had reached out to and prayed over, and you could just tell because she came back the next day, because of course they invited her, you know, to bring your kids and stuff, and you could just tell that there was like so much joy that she had found a place to call home. Like, she hasn't even been here yet, and she's like, "I know this is it. I know this is where I want to be. I know that this is where I want to put my kids." So it was just a blessing more probably for me to see someone find home. And so it was awesome because Mr. Gary and I got to pray over her for peace and blessings. We've switched numbers. We're already setting up play dates. We're ready to go. But for me, just to see that we're providing something that someone's been praying for a long time, and that we're finally giving that gift to her, it was just amazing to me, and it blessed probably me a lot more than it blessed her. So that's my testimony of yesterday. Yeah, I was going to talk about today. And so today, in our first through fourth grade class, we're going to have prophetic games. Actually, we're having our pre-Kers do it right now. They're finishing up. And so all month long, they've been learning about how they receive messages from God in many different ways, in many different senses and forms, and how important it is to give it to the Lord and to give it to the people that we hear it from and hear it for. So as long as it always builds them up, cheers them up, and draws them closer to God, we give that message to them. And so they're learning it in really fun ways today. We're going to have Bible character cards. The Lord's going to highlight one. They're going to flip it over and say exactly which characteristic they are like. The Lord is saying that they are. And then we're also doing fun toys in a bucket, and The Lord has to highlight one for their friend. It might be a slinky. And then they have to say why they're like a slinky. And it could very easily be, you will always come back to me. You can never go far enough. You will always be drawn to me. You know, and there's many different games that we're going to be doing today like that. Real simple, real fun. So if your kids have not been going to class, this is a great day to kind of throw them in there because it's going to be fun and exciting. And if they have been, ask them about what rewards they received. In 1 Timothy, it says to remember the prophecies that have been spoken about you so that you could fight the battle well. And so that's what we're going to be writing them down. So when you get those papers, Mom, try and take them from the kids before they get crumpled at the bottom of the book bag or the car so that they could be, you know, hung up or even just taped up on the wall so that they can remember what has been spoken about them from God and through their friends. Okay, so that's, and then next Friday, this Friday, we're having worship night. So if you guys have not signed up your kiddos, that is first to sixth grade. So if you want to sign them up, we're going to feed them. We're going to teach them who they are, the worshipers of Christ, and that they don't need anything else. God has given them everything already inside of them. We're just going to release it. And we're going to release it through fun ways, through dance, through flags, through Legos, through Play-Doh, through pipe cleaners, through crafting, through whatever. I'm leaving a space open so they could just create whatever the heck they want to create, because I'm sure they're going to come up with something that Miss Erica didn't come up with. Because the Lord has already implanted engineering minds. The Lord has already planted creative minds. The Lord has already implanted things we've never even seen before that they don't even know that they have inside of them. And I just want them to be able to express their way of worshiping the Lord. So if you want, it's a free date night too. Just sign them up and drop them on off. Okay, guys? Have a blessed week. Oh, prayer book? And I'm praying over them. Sorry, guys. All right. Can we extend our hands forward, guys? Thank you. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, I just pray to you, Lord, that a fire burn inside these children and just be contagious as it comes out, Lord. Let it catch fire as they touch children in the hallways of their school, Lord. As they speak, let their words and their touch and every sense of them, Lord, even where they've been when they leave that spot, let it be on fire for you, Lord, so that others may catch it. Let it just be overflowing and abundant, and let it be easy, because we war from a place of rest. So let it be easy. Let them know that the way that they war through this world is being who God created them to be, just being Juvia, just being Addie, just being Samuel is all they have to do to be rock stars in this world for Jesus. And I just pray that they know that in and out, and that they show others that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. So you guys go ahead and go to y'all's teaching time and have fun. Isn't it nice they were actually excited to run the kids' church? I don't know about you. I grew up and I respect and appreciate my background and my history, but church wasn't always fun. And I'm just glad that our kiddos can have a blast. So we've got a couple other quick announcements, and then we're going to go into the message. This coming Wednesday night, we're going to be having our next new members class. And a lot of times people ask questions, so what does it mean to be a part of Legacy Church and to just to take that next step deeper into it? And what do you believe and all that good stuff? And so the membership class is called Catch the Vision, because we want people to catch the vision about what God is doing in and through this place and how that really applies to your life. And so it'll be on Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30 out in one of the portables. And it'll be an amazing time. Know what our vision is. What's our purpose? What are the core values? And then we're going to get a chance for you to connect with each other and just talk about that. So if you have not yet signed up for that, you can do that. You can go to legacynb.com/membership, and it'll give you the place to be able to do that. And we also have coming up this next Saturday, our men's breakfast usually meets the first Saturday of the month. This one we're going to be doing a Beyond Our Walls project, kind of like what we did yesterday, but we're going into a single mom's house, and we're going to be helping do some repairs in the house that are needed. And we're going to be doing some reinforcement of the roof and specifically repairing some stairs. And so, guys, it's another good opportunity for you to come and just bless, be a part of what God is doing, and to use your skill sets and just to be able to bless somebody. If you need some information about that, you can contact Ryan. It's men@legacynb.com, and let him know, hey, I'm going to be coming. You can ask, is there any particular tools or stuff like that, and he'll let you know on that. Breakfast will be served on site, and you can see the address. So if you have one of those iConnects, I didn't bring up one with me, on there, it's also got that slide, and you can see some of the other amazing events that are upcoming, but grab a hold of that. That'll get the address, and you can come to that. And then also on April the 8th, I can't believe we're almost to April. It's happened so quick. We are hosting a women's conference, one-day conference, because we felt like it's easier for folks to commit to one day versus multiple days. And Priscilla Schreier is an amazing, amazing woman of God and speaker. My daughter didn't have a volleyball tournament, I might sneak in here and just listen. She's got a powerful message. And so what we want to do is we want to invite as many ladies as possible. It's $30 for one person to attend, or if you register more than one person, it's $25. That includes lunch. The deadline for t-shirts is already gone, so if you've already registered, you'll receive your t-shirt that day. But still, in the cost of that, it's really just covering, you know, the simulcast and things like that. But bring somebody with you. I can promise you, it's not something you're going to want to miss. You will be blessed. It will be 8:30 to 5 o'clock that day. Childcare is not provided, just because for that stretch of time, being able to cover childcare, it was difficult. So, guys, husbands, it's time to step up and help out with the kiddos, and go have a fun day at the park. Don't, you know, I'll be taking them for pizza and other stuff, right? So I get to do the dude stuff. But ladies, make sure you sign up today. And also you can do is you can sign up using your phone. It's legacynb.com/women, or we have a laptop set up here afterwards so you can come up and you can pay. We've had the other questions too, that if you don't want to pay online but you want to write a check, you can do that as well. And what we'll do is we'll have you fill out one of our blue communication cards. You can just put your name, contact information, so we can reach back out to you, and then say sign up for the women's conference, and then you can write a check directly to Legacy Church, and then in the memo line just put women's event, and we'll get you signed up for that. And I think that's it. Did I have anything else in there, Jeannie? Okay, good. I pulled out some. So let's pray before we go into this time of testimony. Father, we just thank you once again for all that you're doing. And I pray that this morning that every one of these testimonies is going to be not just faith building, but it's going to release the possibilities of what happens when your kingdom shows up. And so we just declare right now that there's going to be a certain percentage of people that are going to hear these testimonies. And as they hear them, they're going to get healing, breakthrough, restoration. All the things they've been needing to press into is going to happen just in the telling of the testimony. And we give you all the glory, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we do that, I want to do just a real quick teaching about what we're going to do this morning, because I think it's important. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Now, let me break that down for you. The testimony of Jesus. Let me hear you say, "The testimony of Jesus." So let me ask the question. If it's the testimony of Jesus, who's telling the testimony? It's Jesus, right? As we tell about the things that God has done, it's as if Jesus is speaking to people of, look what I've done. Which means when we withhold a testimony, we are actually withholding a blessing or the words that somebody may need to hear directly from God. There's a lot of people in our world who are praying, and I pray with people every week that says, I want to hear God speak, and I just don't know how to hear him. And in reality, what they're waiting for is for you to share, this is what Jesus did this week in my life. And it becomes the words to God that builds up faith that says, hey, I'm real. It opens up doors, and it happens over and over again. So the testimony of Jesus, of what Jesus done, becomes the spirit of prophecy. Let me hear you say, the spirit of prophecy. So we talk about prophecy that builds up, it encourages, right? But there's something about this idea of prophecy of what takes what has not yet happened and makes it happen. Like what is not yet created through a prophetic word, the grace of God comes onto it and it makes it happen. Let me give an example. And I was thinking about somebody that we're going to give a testimony today. Ezekiel? His soul to prophesy over the dry bones, right? And he says, look over this valley, and I want to do something with this valley of dry bones. He says, Ezekiel, you prophesy, you declare, dry bones, get up and live. And it wasn't when God said it. It was when Ezekiel partnered with God and gave the testimony what Jesus was saying. And through that declaration, a valley of dry bones got up and lived and walked and breathed. And so what we're doing is we are partnering with the Word of God, the grace of God that comes. And in this prophetic declaration, dry bones, you're coming alive. And it was in that moment that this prophetic word was released over, because it was what God said. This isn't just an encouraging word. I've given lots of encouraging words, but the Holy Spirit wasn't on them. It was just a good encouraging word, and somebody walked away feeling good. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should love on each other and encourage each other and build each other up. That's a true statement. But we need to understand that there's this distinction between what happens with a prophetic word. And it's in that prophetic word, Chris Vallotton describes it this way, is like if you saw the words that you're speaking typed out in red letters, and so the words of J are, you know, are in red, and suddenly it becomes a prophetic word because blue, which is the grace of God, comes on top of my red letters and turns it into a prophetic word. One moment it's the words of J, the next moment it's the words of God. And when the grace of God comes, the grace of God includes an empowering agent, meaning that what you could not do 1 second before, you suddenly can do because you received the grace of God. I give this example all the time, and I think it's one of the most profound examples, is that you cannot receive. We had 8 people that received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They could not receive Jesus until the grace of God touched their heart. And then they were able to activate their free will, whether they were going to step into that moment and that invitation or not. But it was the grace of God, the Spirit of God moving on somebody's heart. I read you last week that verse where it talks about Lydia. She's hearing Paul preach, and it says, God opened Lydia's heart to consider the words of Paul. And in that moment, what was that? It was the grace of God coming onto, I think, Paul's words, and also onto her heart, which opened up the door, and then in that moment she considered it, and then she and her whole household were saved. So in the same way we talk about that with salvation, we believe that about healing, about destiny, about businesses, about kids coming back home, about nations, the things that the Lord is doing, is that as we partner with the Lord and he speaks on it, there's a weightiness that's carried with it, and it's not dependent upon us to do the actual work. God's already done it. It's just his grace that's empowering. All he's asking for us to do is give voice to what I'm saying. Let me hear you say, give voice to what God is saying. And when you give voice to what God is saying, the Creator who spoke the world into existence, that sustains all of creation by the sound of his voice, now co-labors and co-partners with you to bring a new reality that wasn't there previously. So as you hear these testimonies, just realize how important they are. I want to give you a few examples, biblical examples of people sharing their testimony. We have the woman at the well that Jesus comes and he has this encounter with in John chapter 4. And she was not looking for Jesus that day. In fact, she was in her own world, her own burdens, her own concerns, the weight of what it was. She was coming at the noon hour, which was the hottest. And, you know, it's not gotten hot yet. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, yesterday, even though the temperature said it was one thing, the wind, the breeze was amazing. I mean, we didn't feel it at all. It was good. Yes, there was some sunburn, but it's okay. Jesus is healing that too. But you imagine Texas in the middle of August at noon or 3 o'clock or 5 o'clock. It's not the ideal time to be outside doing chores, is it? And so that's when this woman was there. She was rejected by society because she lived a loose lifestyle and all those different parts of the story. And Jesus picks that moment to meet her where she was at. And he begins to have this conversation with her. And in the course of the conversation, what I believe was happening is Jesus is just releasing love and grace to her. And every time she tried to kind of distance or push him to the side, he came right back and he spoke directly to her heart. And then all of a sudden in this moment, this encounter, she realizes, maybe you are the Messiah. Like there's this one that's going to come that's going to set everything right, and he's the Christ, he's the Messiah. And Jesus says, I am he whom you're speaking to. And that moment, something transformed and changed her. And I want to pick up right there of what happened with her. In John 4:28, it says this, the woman then left her water pot In other words, she left what her earthly task was in that moment because something had shifted. Her reality had shifted in a moment and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And so, in other words, the people that she was hoping to avoid because of her shame and guilt and condemnation that had been heaped upon her by them and society and also self-condemnation, she wanted to avoid them with everything she has. And suddenly she has this encounter, and the very people she was wanting to avoid, she goes directly to tell her testimony. Like there's in a moment, there's a shifting. She wasn't afraid anymore. She wasn't ashamed anymore. Why? Because she heard God speak to her, and it removed all shame and guilt and condemnation. And now she becomes an evangelist. She's been saved for all of, what, 30 minutes? And she becomes an evangelist to share, "You need to come meet this man that told me everything," prophetic words, words of knowledge, "that I've ever done. Maybe this is the Christ. Maybe this is the Messiah." And look at the response of the people. "Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the telling of the testimony, the grace of God was released to a people who would previously would have rejected her and never listened to her." Remember, and this is the Samaritan, so they weren't even the Jews, where women had a lower place in society and role. Where talking to a man in public was a big deal, like you didn't do that. And now you have the Samaritans who were considered by the Jews to be a tick down below that, and a Samaritan woman on top of that who's talking to the men. And previously they would have rejected her and said, "Get out of here, woman," or maybe they would have stoned her, maybe they would have done something else, but they would not have followed her out of the city to go see what she was talking about. Why was that? Because the power, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In that moment, the telling of what Jesus had said and done is what made it possible. And I'm going to skip down to verse 39 and look what happens. "Many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of" what? "The word of the woman who testified." Who needs to hear your word and your testimony? So that they might believe that God really is who he says he is. And that he does what he says he will do. And when you withhold the testimony, you withhold the message of Jesus to people. And look what it says. "He believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own words." So in the moment, here's what I want you to pick up on. Your faith cannot be built on the words of other people alone, but it may become the initial word of faith that comes from your testimony that leads somebody to Jesus, and then at that point, Jesus takes over. And then their faith is built. Why? Because Jesus is speaking directly to them. The vision of legacy is to see lives and cities transformed as people hear him speak. They know him, and then they get a chance to respond to what he's saying for themselves. It's not about me standing on the platform and the pastor, the one with the title, and everybody's got to come hear what God is saying. No, it's not about that at all. It's about you hearing God speak. For yourself, knowing his heart, knowing him deeply, and then responding to whatever he tells you to do, responding to him in intimacy and relationship. And so look what it says. "And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, but we for ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" There's a couple other examples, and I'm not going to go through. There's many more examples, but like in Luke chapter 8, Mark chapter 5, there's this encounter that Jesus has with somebody who's radically transformed. I think it's in the Mark chapter 5 whenever he encounters the demoniac and he sets him radically free. Jesus gets back in the boat to go back across the lake, and the guy wants to get in the boat with him, and Jesus says, no, stay here. And go about and tell all the good things that God has done for you. And from not just church history, but from scripture, we know he went out and there was a 10-city region. I want you to hear region in that, but a 10-city region that was completely transformed for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of this was before Jesus went to the cross, died, was buried, and rose again. But people were coming to Jesus before that. How much more after the testimony of what Jesus did on the cross did what was planted in these moments explode throughout the regions and the areas? So we have to understand that we're not responsible for the ultimate end and all that God's going to do. All we're responsible for is what? Go and tell the good things that God's done in your life. It's not more complicated than that. Well, do I have to have the theological terms down? Do I have to? No, you don't. You have to know that God is good. He loves you. He's done some good things in your life. The goodness of God leads people to repent. It's not the people standing out there with the picket signs that says, turn or burn, you're going to go to hell. Your lifestyle is an abomination before. That's not a testimony of Jesus. But the testimony of Jesus is, this is where I was at. My own personal testimony. I was a raging alcoholic, and I was lost as a goose. And I had this encounter where I heard the voice of the Lord. He came in, and he radically changed my heart and my life. I mean, I used to be that guy. And now this is where I'm at. And in the telling of the testimony, somebody else relates with that because they're right there at that point where I was at. And they hear it and they go, well, maybe if it can happen for that guy, it can happen for me. And in a moment, God opens up their heart to consider the words that are spoken. And then he and their household are saved. Like, we're going after the household. We're going after regions. We're going after the world. And it comes through from what? One testimony. So, with that said, I've done enough talking. And I want to get some testimonies that took place yesterday. Dad, I think we need to start with yours, if you're game with that, man. I think y'all need to come on up here on the platform. Now, we were blessed. For those that don't know, we had an amazing team that came from Abilene, from the Texas School for Supernatural Ministry, and they partnered with us, and it was an amazing time just to be working alongside them and ministering the gospel. And so, Thad, why don't you tell about what Jesus did for you?
Last night,
yeah, and where it started, and we'll get to some other testimonies.
I have a lot of testimonies, and God has been working really hard and heavy in my life for a while now. And because I've let him. And I came up here with TSSM expecting to see a miracle. We not only believe in miracles, we've gotten to the point where we kind of expect it, you know. And I knew that I was going to be a part of some amazing stuff. And I came up here, I didn't know I was going to be right smack dab in the middle of it. Jay showed these videos of healings. And one of them was about metal coming out of people's bodies. And this little girl they showed had a screw up through her jaw. She'd had her face, she said face broken, which sounded really nasty. Anyways, during the service, the screw that was in her mouth fell out. She had it in her hand. And Jay started showing his video and prophesying about metal being gone out of people's bodies. And he asked if anybody had any metal. And I stood up. And I had this plate in my leg for 34 years. And it's been a nuisance. The screws, it had 7 screws in it, and the screws had wallowed loose, and I wanted to get it taken care of before, but the bone had grown over the screws, and they weren't going to do it unless it got infected really bad. So last night we prayed over that, and ta-da, that plate is gone. I mean, it's not even there. I don't know where it went. Jay said last night it doesn't matter. I wholeheartedly expected to find it in my room or something. I don't know, but I checked. I double-checked. I got up this morning. I rechecked. I had this routine I go through where every morning I'm all stiff and sore, and it takes 10 or 15 minutes to loosen up. This morning I got out of bed and tried it to the bathroom. About halfway there, I went, wow. Wow. Oh, yeah, the bronzels, metal gone. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's just amazing. Think about it. Stainless steel metal, been in there 34 years. It's no longer there. It's amazing.
So here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want to do. The testimony of Jesus becomes the spirit of prophecy. Is there anyone in the room where you have a medically implanted device, like, you know, like screws, metals, you know, might be plastic? Why don't you stand up? Okay, yeah. And I'm going to have you pray over, release a word over him, okay? So we got three people, four people? There's more people that have stuff. All right, so here's a faith right here. Yeah, it could be an artificial hip, any of those things. Teeth. I was thinking, yeah, we were talking about that last night. It could be fillings or any of that stuff. And so why don't you go ahead and just release a word over them.
Father God, I lift these people up that are standing here. If there's anything that is not of you or from you, unnatural, plastic, rubber, metal, steel, titanium, whatever, I ask that you remove that. I command that you remove that, dissolve it, get rid of it, just make it disappear. In the name of Jesus.
So stay up here. But so go ahead and if you as much as is possible, check your body. That's what he did last night. In fact, I'm gonna ask you to show your leg in church. So this might be controversial, but do you mind?
All right, I got my happy socks on.
Right here used to be a real visible rise in my leg, and you could feel the screws, and you couldn't press down, you couldn't separate the bone. And there's nothing there now. I mean, there's a scar from when the bone came out of my leg, and that's why they had to put the plate in. And it was a centimeter shorter, and I had a little bit of limp because of that. Yeah. Seems to be gone.
All right, so Kiwi, come here. Hey, Kiwi, tell me, this is Kiwi and James from TSSM as well.
So I have a congenital deformity of my hips, and so I had surgery in 2008, and about a year and a half ago, my screws started bothering, actually three of my screws really started bothering me, and you can feel them protruding. And so last night I was claiming, I'm like, okay, I know you're going to heal me, and I fell out. They're still there, but okay, that's all right. It's just, it's not always in my time. So I felt it before Thad prayed, and so I felt it again. I'm like, ooh, there's still one there, but I can't feel the other ones anymore. And you could actually see it coming from my skin. You could actually see the head of the screws. So you can't even see them anymore.
I'll just testify to that there's many times she'd get up moving around and feel like something would catch on those screws, and I could actually see it, a bump in the skin where that screw is kind of protruding. And I saw her standing up, she had her hand on her hip, she's like, I'm up, ready for the prayer. And then she comes, and I'm sitting there, we're holding hands, we're praying, and she goes back to feel it again, she's like, let me, oh my God, thank you, Lord.
Okay, and I know I'm supposed to share this, and I don't know if it's just for me or if there's someone else here, but I had to go gluten-free about 3 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, just because I was having multiple symptoms. And God told me Friday night, he says, I'm going to heal you. Okay. So I tried some onion rings with breading on it, and I didn't feel anything. Yesterday I had a burger. And it was awesome. So,
and that's the goodness of God right there. So let's just say this. Once again, those that have, if that built your faith and all, the testimony of Jesus becomes a spirit of prophecy. Would you stand up one more time? And we're going to pray over it one more time. And I'm going to have Kiwi go ahead and release the word. So right where you're at, go ahead and stand up if you got those things in your body that don't belong in your body.
Okay. Thank you, Father. We just cover this church, everyone in it, all in New Brunswick. And we just lift up these courageous people to you, and just anything that's not of you in their body, whether it's metal, whether it's, and I'm just seeing screws, but we will claim anything that's not of you. And if you have something that you can't have that God has put on this earth because of an allergy, we just claim that, all of that, be gone. And we just put it at the feet of Jesus, and we just plead the blood of Jesus over every single person in this room, and we just lift that up to you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so test your body one more time. I told you there's always a percentage of people that in the telling of the testimony, something disappears, and we just saw that, right? It happened last night, happened this morning. Anybody else? You want to test your body and know? Okay, we're going to keep believing for complete and full healing. So I want to share just a couple times. Go for it.
Oh, no, sorry. I was going to say, as Jay was preaching earlier, God started just downloading just stuff for me to write down. And I started looking for a pen and paper. I was going to go down the hallway, see if I can find one. Well, Dorothy, for unknown reasons to her, she brought a pen and paper sitting right next to me. She's like, I don't know why I brought it, but I started writing. And it was thinking about the miracle of the metal removing out of Thad's leg. And I was like, you know, that's my first experience with that. So I'm like, okay, there's got to be a logical reason for that initially. I'm like, no. I was like, you know, if I believe that Jesus was resurrected, that's small time for him. That's just confirmation. That is removing metal and screws disappearing. They're protruding out of skin. I was like, you know, Jesus is our Savior. You know, thank God. This is just him showing off and having fun and blessing us with that.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. So you got one more too, right? I'm gonna have, this is what I want to say real quick. Latimer came with three of her friends in August, and we did a creativity conference. And one of the things that was really heavy in my heart was that we believe for creative miracles, yet I've seen it personally happen, but not in the course of like our church services or any of those things. And we knew that if we wanted to see creative miracles, we needed to honor the creativity because we're honoring the Creator. And we did that. And I told Latimer earlier on, I believe the reason that he waited till this weekend to do that is that she would be here the first weekend that the creative miracles started at Legacy, because they're not. This is not a two-time occurrence, right? This is an ongoing occurrence, and it's through something that you've released. And so we're so blessed to have you with us today. So it's so good. All right, share one more testimony, and then I want to give some of our team from yesterday to give an opportunity to share.
I'm not sure what you wanted. Did I? No.
Okay.
Well, I do. Friday, we went around, we were touching the neighborhoods, walking around ministering, and that's kind of what I do. I do a lot of street ministry in Abilene, or talk to street people all day, every day. But we went up to one house, and this dude came up, Jose was his name, and he came, and God put it on my heart that he was going through something, but like a lot of us, we quit right before we get there. There's the hill, and there's the top, we're that far away, and I told him that God's telling me that you're almost there. You're almost there. And he's like, oh, yeah. And it was spot true or on or yeah, whatever. It was right. And it opened up his heart and his soul. And his mom showed up, and she was ministered too. It was a good deal there.
That's so good. So give praise for that. Yeah. I'm going to share a real quick testimony. And I want any of our team that were with us yesterday, you guys get ready with one of your stories, and I want you to see, if you've got a story, go ahead and come on the side so we don't have to wait for everybody to walk up here, but with boldness, right, the testimony of Jesus, come over here and get ready to share, so you can move over this way now. But yesterday, I got an encounter with a guy. Actually, there's two gentlemen yesterday I got to pray to that had been dealing with addictions, and I think it was Dorothy or I was with one of them. But there's this other gentleman that I was on the backside. I'd just gotten done drying off a car, and I went around to where they had the roller deal to squeeze out all the water. And this guy came around, and he said, I didn't want to do this over there because I don't want anybody to see this, but I'm really trying to be a godly man and get over meth. And he says, I've been trying. I know I've been born again, but it's a struggle. And I keep trying to stop. And it's so hard. And I just looked him in the eyes and said, man, I know. And I shared my testimony about how God had delivered me from addiction. And I said, here's the thing. You're trying really hard to not do something. How about you stop trying that and start just receiving what God has for you. Once you start confessing and believing, this walk into it. And I'm going to pray an impartation over you. But if you would just change the way that you think and realize that God's given you everything you need to succeed. And I just started giving them some scriptures. Like, this is what's true about you. This is what's true about you. And so as we prayed over him, and when he walked up, he says, I've got this hunger that right now I'm going to leave here and I'm going to go buy. And I'm going to go use. And this is like his Hail Mary pass is what he called it, to see if this works. And I said, look, you don't need a Hail Mary. You need a good Jesus. All right. So in this moment, I just prayed hands on him. And I just said, I rebuke that hunger. I rebuke that lie. Rebuke that brokenness. In Jesus' name, you're completely set free. And then he does this thing. He's like this. And and you're praying for somebody they're not quite sure to do. So he's kind of got his eyes open. And he kind of looks up and he does this. Because I pray with my eyes open just to see what God is doing. And he kind of look up and he do this. And then the moment I said amen, it was this. I mean, it's like that bewildered look, and he, like, he couldn't believe it. And it was like the hunger, the desire for that addiction was gone in a moment. And he says, give him praise. He said, there's never been a time in, because he started using, he was in his early 20s, he started using when he was like 14, different drugs, not just meth. There had never been a time in his life that he could remember not being hungry for drugs. And until that moment, it was set free. So, if that's you right now, in Jesus' name, I declare that you are set free, that God's goodness is what leads you to think differently and realize that you have an inheritance where you're hungry for God now, and that's the only hunger that you need, in Jesus' name. Come on up, Barry. All right, now they're moving up. That's right. Come on.
Hi, I'm Gary. I'm from the Abilene team. I go to a church that's afflicted with a lot of people with addictions, so I'm claiming that to take home for sure. I just want to give a testimony. Me and Bones, okay, so Thad goes by Bones. My last name is Bone, whatever that means. Anyways, we both wanted to minister at the skate park yesterday. We spent all day over there. If you don't know, that's a really hard group to minister to. We spent a lot of our time just kind of hanging out and trying to visit when we could. There's a lot of guys you could tell that they don't have parents that spend a lot of time with them, especially dads over there. I was able to visit with one kid that was there when we got there at 10, and he was still there when we left at 3, and he said he was going to be there all night. So, anyways, he stood out. He was by far the most talented kid there. He's 17 years old. Anyways, the Lord had put on my heart a vision of something I was to do for somebody at the skate park. I think it was during worship yesterday morning. I got him by himself and told him what I wanted to do, and we did that. And the whole point of the testimony is sometimes you don't see the big miracle right off, but you're planting seeds. And so I just wanted to come up here and let you guys know that even a kind word, we're called to show people what Jesus looks like, bottom line. You know, sometimes that means laying hands on them. Sometimes that means just being around and not being a pain in their butt and throwing Jesus down their throat because you know they're going to shut you off immediately. So I just really wanted to release that. I didn't want you to forget that part of it, because it's that seed is planted. And then so what we did was we ordered him something that's going to show up at his house later. And the Lord kind of revealed to me later that, you know, you planted a seed that's going to really be watered here in about 3 or 4 days that he's going to kind of forgot about. So pray for those guys over there. The place was hopping at 10 o'clock last night. It was full of people. And there's a ministry to be had there, but it's got to be slow and low and be dedicated to get to break into that. That's a cultural thing that needs people to really be able to break into that culture with God's help. So, and I want to tell you, I'm an absolute mess. I'm the director of the school in Abilene, and we've been with all of these guys, some of them for years and some of them since September. And if you could see where we started to what we're seeing now, my goodness, it's unbelievable. So, what's going on here? It's unbelievable. The Lord is big, big, heavy on this place. And I just encourage you guys to just say yes, no matter what. So.
Thanks, Gary.
Yeah.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Yeah. Dorothy translated for me last night, so.
So it was really, really, really good. And Friday, I think the guy you were talking about, the meth guy, was with somebody else. Saturday we did the cocaine, but he's not, yeah, he had, Roger, had struggled with cocaine for a long, long time, and he had been born again and not had a problem, but he's away from Dallas. He's moved down here and hasn't gotten grounded, and he fell into temptation, and he was feeling like he was at that door. Yeah. And I think God brought us just at the moment, like, no, no, you don't want to go back there, and he was real excited. But the one I was thinking about was Friday. And I want to say this, you know, I prayed for a lot of things, and I have yet to see someone get healed for what I pray for, and that's okay, because I'm just believing that I'm going to keep doing it, and it's going to happen. So, but I did get to pray for people in prison, blind, paralytic, pregnant, what else, you know, sick, financial prosperity, just all kinds of things. And the one that I really, and it was just, it felt really, really good. And the one that I really felt good about, I went out with Jay and James, and it was the last guy we talked, no, it was second to last guy, Joe. And we went by his house, and I mean, this guy just was hunched down. And I said, you know, can we pray for you? And he's like, sure, you can pray. What are we praying for? And he says, bad luck, man. I've had so much bad luck. And he just started telling us, you know, his finances. He fell. He broke this. And he just says, I know there's bad luck that comes, but this one's like just staying. And so James and Jay just started praying over him and breaking off shame and all kinds of things. And it was just really neat. His composure. Did y'all notice that? I mean, his composure, like he was beaming. When we left, he wasn't this oppressed person. He was, it was just so cool to see that. And then, I got home last night and I kind of got chided, you know, by my parents, taking care of my parents. And I was, you've got so much to do and now you're going to be all busy doing that. And I know she believes in Jesus. And I said, I know, what a wonderful opportunity, because Jesus, and he gave me the words, because I was thinking, man, nobody got healed. You know, and I was kind of, and it just came out of my mouth. I said, yeah, so when I talked to Jesus and he says, you know, when you gave somebody water, you gave me water, you visited me in prison, you healed me, you know, when I was sick, you fed me. I thought, what a great opportunity, you know, because he said, when we do it for the least of these, we're doing it for him. So that's such a privilege regarding, you know, of the results. And the last thing I want to say, I have a teenager, and everybody knows, and Daniel knows this too, teenagers can be moody, and he had agreed to give me 2 hours, and it was just amazing to watch him. He ended up doing the whole 4 hours, and I was like, I'm so sorry, I haven't taken you home yet, and he was like, oh, I just know, it's great, it feels good, and we were talking about that on the way home, and he was just so blessed by feeling God's presence and being in with all of y'all. So we're ready to do it again.
Yeah. Yes, that's good. Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't just adults. There was kids and teens that were busting their tail. It was awesome. Yeah, you can see some of those up there. Hey, real quick, Jeannie, will you put up that one with Cindy's praying for that dude? Yeah, I figured you want to talk about him. Okay, do y'all see that? Now, it may be, here, Mike, kill these overheads real quick, because I want you to see this. You see that light shining on him? Just him? Okay, I get lens flares and stuff like that. A lens flare doesn't just isolate like that. And so this is somebody that Cindy was praying for. And remember that other one I showed you at the beginning of the service with an open heaven. So anyway, I just want to share that with you. And Cindy, why don't you go ahead and come up. And then Sophia, I'm going to get you after that, okay? So go ahead and bring the lights back up. There you go.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. And you know, out of the 58 photos that Demetra took and sent to us, there was only two that had that, and she was sitting at the same angle several times in the photos, and the only two were the ones when Carlos was praying for somebody. That's why I made him come up here. He's got some testimonies that he was praying for, and then this one where I was praying for this guy. So I'll just start with this one since we've got the picture here. But, you know, when we were doing the car wash and stuff, what was really great is we were telling people, you know, we just want to bless you. It's not for a donation. It's not a fundraiser. It's not any of that. And so we would tell them, you know, we just wanted to be loving. We just want to be blessed in the community. And I was just walking around, you know, talking to different people and making sure everybody had money and all that stuff. And so Chris is already soaping down a car or whatever. And she's like, there she is. Go talk to her. He needs to talk to you. I was like, okay. And so he came over with $5 and he's like, yeah, I just wanted to, you know, pay. And I was like, well, we don't want your money. We just wanted to bless you. And he's like, no, I know, but I really love what you guys are doing. He had this great big smile on his face. And I was like, okay, well, just know you're just going to be paying for somebody else's car wash. He's like, that's awesome. That's great. But then almost immediately, we call this, the phrase that I use is prophetic evangelism. And so it's just easy to lead someone to Jesus when you just listen to what he says. And my first impression was just this countenance that was on him. He was just so excited. And the word leader showed up. And he had it. I said, how old are you? And he's 22. And I said, and I asked for his name. And he goes by Josh. And I said, you are a leader. And then the Lord just started telling me about him. And so I just began to just prophesy and tell him about him. And I just feel like that. And he's like, and he just kind of chuckled. He's like, yeah, people have kind of told me that. I kind of have. And it was like, well, you do. And it's not just charisma. And so, and it was this anointing that was on him to really lead and to speak. The Lord started talking to me about his name. And he does this with lots of people with me. And so I started thinking, okay, well, Joshua. And I said, so do you go by Joshua? He's like, well, technically there's the Spanish version, but my mom always said I was named after the guy in the Bible. And I said, well, you know, he's pretty amazing. He's one of my favorites, right? So I started talking about the intimacy of Joshua that stayed in the tent after Moses left. And he's like, oh, okay, I know Moses, you know. And as I just began to continue to talk with him, the Lord just kept giving. It was weird because I went into like mini sermon mode, which I usually don't do when I'm talking to people. And I could tell that he wasn't really familiar with the Bible. And so I just told him these stories about these things and how amazing Joshua was. And then the Lord would say, and you're just like that. You know, and you're just like this. And I bet there is a time when. And he just kept giving me stories. And the guy just kept, he just kept staying and staying and listening and then just was engaging. And the Lord just was really able to just love on him. And it was just really powerful. And I just, he said that he has people in his family line, both sides of his family, that are actually ministers. And I said, well, no wonder. You know, because there's an anointing. I said, you're going to preach, but it ain't going to be like a typical preacher. You have influence over people. And he just kept nodding his head like, you're right. Like I was reading his mail, you know, and this is who I am. This is how people tell me. And so as we just go in, I paused at the end and I just asked him full out if he had really, I know he knows about Jesus, but has he really accepted him? And so I just went through just the invitation, but it was really funny how the Lord had me do it, which was really different. And it was just like, I said two or three times, I said, you know, you don't have to. You don't have to. If you're not ready, it's okay. You know, this isn't about fire insurance. You know, this is about a real relationship with the real God. And he's like, yeah, I know. And then he started kind of talking about how he thought he might just want to get himself cleaned up first. You know, and I said, okay, well, let's look at the car wash over here. And then the Lord was able to let me use that as an example of just, you got to just come as you are and just let him clean you up. You ain't going to be able to do it yourself. And no one, you know, gets a wash rag and cleans you off before you get in the shower. Like, you just get in the shower, right? And so that just, he said, I'd like to do that. So, and it was funny because I was like, well, you really don't have to yet if you're not really ready. Like I said that loud, like I'm thinking in my head, why are you saying that, Cindy? Just pray for him. But the Lord was like, you know, he's like, no pressure, you know, because, and then I just looked at him, I said, no, this means surrender. You know, this is a surrender. And so I got to pray with him, and that's what was happening when I was praying with him right there as he received Jesus. Isn't that good? And I love it because he also gave me his email and phone number, so I'm going to send him that picture too, which is going to rock his world a little bit. So that was one of my favorites, but I got to tell you this other little one. There's a guy that came in, and he was one of the guys that had one of these like classic trucks, and it was gorgeous. And so we offered to pay for it, and he's like, no, it's all right, I'm blessed, it's good, I love what you guys are doing, but no. And I was like, well, we can help wash if you want. And he's like, this is kind of my pride and joy, so no thanks, you know. And so I was like, I get it, I totally get it, we won't have to touch it. I said, but we're just praying for people, and can I pray for you about anything? He's like, no, no. And I was like, you don't have any, and I got a word of knowledge, you don't have any pain in your body? And he's like, actually, yeah, in my hip, he was in a car accident a few months back, and so he kind of wobbles a little. He had a level of pain of a 4. I was like, okay, well, that's too bad. That's not too bad, but do you really want to live with it? Or do you want it gone? And he's like, yeah, so just let me pray. I mean, you know, what's it going to hurt? So I prayed for him, and it was really funny because he just sat there. You could tell he just kind of shivered a little. He just kind of shivered. And I said, what just happened? He's like, I don't know. And he just kind of backed up a little bit, a couple steps. And I was like, well, where's the pain at? He's like, well, I don't know. And he just kind of, he's just tripped out, right? Because he's like, it's not there. I was like, so don't be nice to me. Like, be honest. Like, is there any, he's like, okay, well, he wiggled around. He's like, maybe a 1. I was like, all right, let's take care of it. So we prayed again. Even Jesus prayed twice, remember, with the blind guy. So we can keep praying. And so I prayed again, and it was completely gone. And it was just amazing. He was just so excited. It was just really great. So anyway, that's a short other one. You next? Okay.
All right. I was at the car wash yesterday, too. And I was the coin person going up to the people, and one of the car, it wasn't a car, a motorcycle came, and I got really excited because I happen to love motorcycles and I like all the bikers. So I went over and I told him, I said, well, we're here today and we're blessing you with washing your car or your bike, or you can wash it yourself. And he was like, ooh, you know, he was taken back. And because I said, you know, we're from, you know, the church and we're just blessing the community. He goes, ooh, I don't do that. And I'm like, oh, he got hurt by the church, so he's got this wall up. So he agreed, so I put in the money for him to wash his bike, and he's just washing his bike, and I'm just, you know, kind of watching. And I go back inside as he's washing his bike, and we're just kind of talking to him. And I said, you know, I said, my son has a Harley, and I said, and we used to live in Daytona Beach, and I said, Bike Week just happened, and, you know, are you going to a bike event? And he says, well, we're actually going down to River Road, he said, and we're going to go. A bunch of us are going to meet. I guess there was an event yesterday. I said, well, that's really cool. So we're just sitting there talking, and he's just washing his bike. And I said, oh, I said, you've been hurt? I said, by the church, by people. He goes, yes, I have. And I thought, I said, I'm really sorry about that. So he's continuing to wash his bike, and he's almost done. So I drew out the card that Latimer has. Well, I don't know what I did with it. It was in my pocket. And because I was handing these out to people as I was putting the money in the for them to wash their car. And so I just gave this to him, and I said, you know, Jesus loves you. And he turned to me, and he said, I'm going to put this in my bike, and this is where I'm going to keep it for you. And I thought, oh, wow, that's really awesome. Because it was just a little seed, because I knew this, he was really hurt inside by the church, and that just made me feel so sad because, you know, we shouldn't be hurting each other, but just maybe my giving him this and just telling him, you know, not really pressing in to preach at him or tell him all kinds of things that he doesn't need, but it was just showing him the love that will spark something inside of him, and maybe the walls will start coming down.
Do that real quick. You got to hear this.
So last night we're watching the same video that Thad was watching about the metal in your body. So several years ago I had bunion surgery on both feet, different times, not the same time, because that would not be good. So it was all good. The doctor was amazing. He did an awesome job. My downtime was hardly nothing. After 3 days I was up and wobbling around on a walking shoe. So I wasn't able to bend my toes all the way down and have the flexibility. And as my children would tell you, that it was at a certain point. So I stood up last night and I thought, well, you know, God can do whatever he wants to do. I just stood up. And afterwards, it was Papa John, wherever he's at. No, he's right there. He says, anything happened? I'm like, I don't know. So I took off my shoe, my sandal, and I bended my toe all the way down. So I kept testing it all through the night. After we left, I went home, you know, got into bed and got up this morning and said, ooh, it's still working.
Yay, Jesus. This is good.
Carlos is going to translate.
Ah, good. Wonderful.
Oh, yeah. So keep it up here, though. Okay. Hello. I'm Hola. Christina. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Gloria al Señor.
Gloria a Dios. So, we love the Lord, and all glory to him. And I'm so grateful to be a part of this church. And
ahorita estamos agradecidos porque somos parte de aquí de la iglesia del Señor.
Sí. So grateful that when we did come in, John David and I, it's going to be a year that we've been coming to this church. Sometime after Easter, we've been coming here about a year.
So estamos agradecidos que somos parte de aquí de la iglesia. Y ellos han venido aquí, tienen como un año que han venido de esta iglesia. Y están bien agradecidos.
And we came on a Wednesday. And Cindy was teaching.
So vinieron un miércoles y esta Cindy estaba diciendo la palabra.
And she was teaching on heaven come down and on the prophetic.
Y estaba... Ella estaba demostrando y diciendo cosas del cielo que ven aquí a la tierra.
And my husband and I said that we were at home, that we were grateful.
So el esposo de ella dijo que aquí es de la casa, que era la casa de ellos.
And we hadn't even heard our pastor.
Y ni siquiera habían oído al pastor.
After that, we knew for sure we were.
Después
here.
De ahí ellos supieron que por seguro que estaban aquí.
So Cindy started teaching on how to use the gift of prophetic.
So yo estaba demostrando cómo usar el regalo de profecía.
That the Lord has given us all.
Que el Señor te lo ha dado a todos nosotros.
So Friday I decided that I would put it into practice.
Ella decidió viernes que lo iba a practicar.
And before we left, we entered into worship and
y después que se fueron ellos entraron para worship para el Señor.
And I asked for a color.
Y ella preguntó por un color.
And he said yellow.
Y dijo amarillo.
I said okay. And so we started on our walk.
Empezaron a caminar.
And we saw a yellow rose.
Y vieron una rosa amarilla.
Bo and I in.
Que estaba bien grande.
And I said, oh, yellow.
Estaba pensando amarillo.
But that wasn't it.
Pero no era eso.
And so we continue on our walk.
So continuaron going en el camino.
Door to door.
A puerta a puerta.
Praying for people, loving orando, on them.
Orando por personas.
And then almost at our one of the last stops.
Y después de ahí, cuando, donde se pararon uno de los más, de los últimos.
We knock at the door.
Empezaron a tocar a la puerta.
And this lady comes out with a yellow blouse.
Y una señora se sale que tiene una camisa amarilla.
Wow. I thought of you.
Ella pensó por ti.
You know, we've been putting this into practice on one another on Wednesday.
Nosotros estamos creyendo siempre para practicar eso, los profecía los miércoles.
So, you know, going out in the street and doing it on somebody that I didn't know was totally different.
So cuando se salieron a la casa, se iba a practicar eso, que era una cosa bien diferente para ellos.
So she greeted us and she We asked her if she needed any prayer. We explained who we were, that we were just with Love New Braunfels, and we wanted to pray over the neighborhood and pray over anybody that needed prayer, her or anybody in the family.
So cuando ella salió, ellos les dijeron que estaban aquí para orar por ellos, que si necesitaban una, que si tenía una necesidad para orar por personas, que estamos aquí representando para la ciudad de New Braunfels y para amar a todas las personas.
And if, you know, a lot of times they say no, that they're good.
Y a veces dicen no, que ellos están bien.
And so then, you know, we go, okay, so how about a family member? And so then they open up.
So entonces empezó a decir, okay, a una familia, un tu hermano, o otra persona que quieres que oremos por ti.
So it ended up being for her grandchildren.
So era por los muchachitos.
They came out.
Y ellos salieron en la casa.
And she was really, really blessed for us to pray for them.
So ella está muy bendecida porque ellos oraron por ellos.
So then the Lord gave me the color yellow.
Y el Señor le dio el color amarillo.
And then we're also taught to say, okay, and this is Holy Spirit led.
Y esto es del Espíritu Santo que
to prophesy then.
Para hacer la profecía.
And so the Lord gave me the word to tell her.
Y el Señor le dio la palabra para decirle
that he's hearing her. That he's hearing her.
De que él está, que el Señor la está oyendo a ella.
He's hearing her cries.
Que está oyendo, que está llorando, que le está oyendo.
The prayers for her grandchildren.
Que está orando por los muchachitos.
And the prayers for her children.
Y las oraciones por sus hijos.
And then I asked her if she was born again.
Y él le preguntó que si ella ya había nacido otra vez.
And so she spoke Spanish.
Y habló español.
And English.
Y inglés.
So we spoke to her both in Spanish
entonces hablamos
and English.
En inglés y en español.
And she said she hadn't
y ahí dijo
accepted.
Que no había aceptado al Señor Jesucristo.
Pastor was speaking on yesterday on sovereignty. And that resonated with me with her because she hadn't received the Lord
so
yet,
ella,
but praying and asking about God to heal, to help her children.
So lo que aprendió ella es que cuando uno se sale y que personas que necesitan eso, que ella que comprendió que tenía esa oportunidad.
And the way I understood it is that sovereignty still, without her accepting the Lord in her life, was still being, her prayers were still being heard.
Que de todos modos, si una persona no conoce al Señor, que muchas veces que el Señor, cuando oras por Él, que Él te está oyendo.
But for sure,
pero por seguro,
accepting the Lord in her life that
aceptando
day,
al Jesucristo es mejor.
She knows.
Ella sabe.
In her heart,
en el corazón
her prayers
de ella,
are being heard.
Que ahora sí, las oraciones están oyendo, se van directamente al cielo. Y el Señor
hallelujah
te oye.
Aleluya.
So this kind of sets the stage for me to speak to you about what happened to us this last Saturday. Lo que pasó el sábado aquí fue muy importante aquí en la comunidad. Y so venimos aquí y que so we came over here to serve and to see what God wanted to do. Most likely me being bilingual, you know, I wanted to see if I had an opportunity for me to go out to share this love on everybody here in New Braunfels. So lo que quería hacer es venir para acá con mi familia y ver para orar por personas y para amar a New Braunfels aquí en la comunidad de aquí, okay? So, as we went out to set up all the tables and getting all the stage set up for the Lord to work, we went out to set up tables to the car wash. So fuimos para allá para poner mesas y para estar listos para ver qué es lo que iba el Señor. Y so we went to the laundromat and then we were talking to some people and everything and I was really feeling kind of like, you know, I needed to shake it off a little bit because I was kind of a little bit rusty and And I didn't know what God was going to do, right? So we got everything set up. We prayed for some people. And I noticed that there were a lot of people who were speaking Spanish people. And that they needed some assistance on translation. So I was right there. It was a blessing to be able to speak to these people and to be able to translate God's word and his love. So as we went on, and then we went out to the car wash. My two kids, my wife, we came. I was blessed to see my kid that he engaged on serving. My daughter, we asked him to come, and they came, but they were all in, just like all you kids. And I was so blessed to see that whenever you help somebody, you bless somebody by helping, that you think about them much more than what you think of yourself. So there was this lady, after having a few people coming in and speaking to somebody, there was this man that I talked to, the first guy. He was from Spain. And then I talked to him, and I'm like, we're coming over here to love you and to pray for you. Do you have any family member, this and that? So we've got to pray for him. And he was really amazed, and I told him, you know, this legacy church, this and that. So, and then I met somebody else, another lady, she was from Honduras. And then I met another person from Colombia, and there were so many different people from different places. And I met this special lady who was pulling in on the parking lot, and she's already glowing, right? So she pulls up, and I told her, you know, can we watch your car? And she was a single lady, and I didn't know somebody was on the back seat. So I asked her, hey, can we watch your car? She goes, yeah. So as we came in, and then she pulls in to the car wash, and then she steps out, and she opens the door, the back door, and this little girl comes out. This little, beautiful little girl with the white dress. And you can already tell the grayness that it was in this person. And she needed to know Jesus Christ. So I ask her, you know, what brings you over here? And she goes, I don't know. She goes, we usually do the vacuum our car in this area, and we take it to a different place to do the car wash. So I told her, well, you know, thank you for allowing us to do this for you. And she goes, and I told her, okay, by the way, you know, your daughter's beautiful, and we want to share with you, just loving your brand for us, we're doing this and that. And then she was very attentive, and she was alert. And it was like something, and I knew something was going to get ready to happen, something very unique and something very different. So when she comes in, we start talking. I start asking her where she was from and what brought her over here and why we were here for. And she explained to me that she works 7 days a week, that she does almost every, so she works for a restaurant over here in town. And she does, she's been doing washing dishes, register, serving customers, management, and all the stuff. I noticed that, and I asked her, are you married? And she goes, yes, but no. And then she goes, you know, there's my little girl. I have two girls that they live in Honduras. So I thought, okay, we're going to pray for them. And then she said, and I told her, you know, I'm so proud of you. Because you came from a different place to where somebody like you, you make excuses to how far you want to make it in life. And she didn't. And I thought, I know the reason why you came over, you're here today, and I know the reason why you're doing this for and that's for your little girl. So we started talking a little bit, and I kind of asked her, hey, you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And she goes, no, I never had the experience. I can explain to her just plain words about the salvation and once Jesus went up to the cross and having the cross with Jesus Christ up and having the cross without Jesus. Just real simple. And so once I came, you know, I asked her, would you like to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? And then she said yes. So once she accepted the Lord, I knew that something very unique, special, and this was a true salvation. Just because the fact that how she came in and how she pulled into the parking lot and how what was going on with her life, and how she was so attentive, and so you can see her eyes, they were just glowing. And I invited her to the church, but at the same time, you know, asked Pastor Jay to pray for her and everything, and we did together, kind of a little bit of translation. And so for me to step out and to represent Jesus Christ like that, I always remember where I was on that bus and what he did for me and the way that he delivered me from so much and the way that he set my family free and my new generation, especially my kids. And to know that now there is the new generation between my son and my daughter, now they have a great future ahead of them just because we received the Lord. So I always put myself to what he did for me and what he can do for a person. So once you reach out to somebody, always think about where you came from and always to know that if he did that for you like that he can do it for other people. Okay, so that was one. There were a couple more testimonies about other people just that we pray for and we pray to. I usually spend, you know, quite a bit of time with them, and I make it to be transparent. And I make it to be just really just loving God, and actually that he wants, that he needs them. He needs us for us to explain plainly and easy and just make it real simple, you know, the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, praise. Now, just real quick, I want y'all to pick up on something. Carlos and Dorothy both translated a little bit last night, even though we had all English speakers here. But God planted us in this community for a reason. And we are a cross-cultural, multi-ethnic, you know, church. And for me, the Lord's been pressing upon my heart of how do we minister to, is not just go out and it be the Spanish speakers and English speakers only, but how do we begin to make outreach? And so you can guys be praying for us, whether that's simultaneous translation or things that are happening during our services, to where we want to be able to bring together this community and not just be planted in this community. And thank you, Carlos, for being a major part of that too. So love you. All right, we have time for one more. And so Natalia, why don't you want to come up? And then what I'm going to do is ask Chris and Mia next week when we do Goodness of God testimonies. Let's be ready to do in the beginning, okay?
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Natalia, and I wasn't here yesterday, Pastor Jay, but I want to share with you a very quick testimony that last Sunday, Pastor Jay was saying how important and how much God is working around us, and he wants us to get out of the box that we can, especially me, lived in, right? So I go in school, and I have these good friends that we started talking about the Lord, and she started being interested in how is it that the Lord, you know, he's so much into every detail in your life. So we started sharing about him. And last week on Wednesday, she started telling me about illness that her mom is going through. And so I'm like, oh, you know, the Lord, I started giving her hope and encouraging her and everything. And then when I'm on my way back home, I'm thinking, why didn't I pray for her? Why didn't I go with her to see her mom and pray for her? It was the Lord inviting me and showing me I'm here. And so I'm getting all so excited in my heart. And I'm like, yes, Lord, this is you. So I'm getting off the freeway. I call her. Where are you? I'm coming. And she's like, oh, I just got out of my house. Can we do it tomorrow? And I'm like, okay, let's do it tomorrow. So I pray on my way home and everything. And then when I get home, I'm so excited, so happy, thinking, oh, the Lord is inviting me. This is awesome. And I want to see you, Lord, through this. And so the next day, I grab my guitar, my Bible, and I'm like, I'm ready, Lord, whatever that you want to do. I want to be there. I want to be part of it. And so I'm going to school, and I'm like kind of nervous and excited. I had a test that day, so she knows that I was kind of nervous, but I'm like, I'm very excited. This is not going to put me down, no matter what the results are. I'm ready for you, Lord. And so it happened that day my classmate could not make it because she had to stay in school, so it didn't happen that day. So in my heart, I'm like, Lord, but was it you? Was it me? Or what's going on? I know you want to heal this person. I know you love them. And So I'm kind of going back home and feeling this, and I'm like, okay, Lord, you're in control. So I keep believing you, and I know you're going to do something with them. A few days later, she sent me a text, and she says, what time is your church on Sunday? And I'm like, my heart started, Lord. So I didn't want it to be too put too much on her. So I said, oh, that would be great. Although my heart was like, yay. So I wanted to be. So, and then this morning, I'm sitting back there, and I'm kind of like sending a text, okay, I'm at church in case that you want to come. And so we're praying, and then Pastor Jay said, okay, why don't you just meet the person there next to you and say a blessing? When I look around, and there she is, her with her mom in the back right there. So I wanted to share with you all, because I would love for us as church to pray for her and her mom for healing, because that's what I didn't know the Lord was going to be doing this today. So I'm just so thrilled and happy and excited. So I let you all with Pastor Jay.
Let's go down there.
Okay.
She said it. The Lord invited an opportunity. So here we go. Natalia, you got the word, so go ahead.
En español.
Sí, como usted quiera.
Oh, Señor mío Jesucristo.
Amén.
Gracias que estoy aquí. Gracias con mis hermanos. Gracias por esta oración. Gracias a todos ustedes por abrirme las puertas de este templo. Y estoy bien contenta. No sé cómo decir. Siento el corazón que se me sale aparte del pulmón. Gracias.
Oh, she's saying thank you very much for opening your doors for us. We actually didn't have planned on actually coming out here, but I told her we needed to, and that he opened up the road to come all the way over here, and that we were blessed that Natalia was on my path so that she could give her this prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Denada. All right, church. I don't know what you. We talked about we weren't going to do church as usual because Jesus was going to direct it, and I think He directs it pretty well, don't you think? One last thing, dude, before we leave. I know we're pushing over time, but Kevi and James, would you guys come up here real quick? Do you have the? Yeah. And here's what I'm going to do. Every person that came and served at Love New Braunfels this weekend, I want you guys to come up here and line up on the front. And Kevi and James have a blessing for you real quick. It's a brand new car.
Hello.
What's up, man?
So, something that I had completely forgotten on Saturday when we came over was Kathy had a word for you all. And she said, we are coming here. Abilene's coming here to serve with you, but more than anything, to love on you. So Saturday morning, I saw these little cards, and James had pointed, he says, hey, Schlitterbahn, I want to go. And I was going to buy one and pulled out my checkbook. And God said, no, you're going to do this dollar amount. Okay. So I counted it out, and it's exactly how many were in the complete stack. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So, and then God told me, now it's for the people that work for the church. So this is for you all. So I'm having faith that there is enough in here for one for each family unit for you all. So
what we'll do is we'll hand them out afterwards. I want you guys just to release that blessing over them too, because we felt loved.
Yes. Well, we felt loved. I mean, we felt that we were completely blessed, but we just want to extend that blessing to you all, that your blessings are going to increase, and you definitely have some amazing favor. Because not just because y'all are God's children, but He sees the work that you all are doing, and then He's going to continue to increase in each one of y'all for the church, for your community. And something that we did pray over and that God was also telling me is that there is restoration. It's coming. And just keep doing what you're doing.
God was just telling me right now that this group that's standing up here, just He loves your strength. He loves your wisdom. He loves your love. He knows your identity. And He loves each and every one of you.
Well, let's pray together, just collectively and holy. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for every single person here, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the testimonies of what you've done and are doing, Lord God, are going to go on, Lord God. And just that great stories of faith that are written through the book of Hebrews, that these match up with that. That there's these incredible stories of faith and breakthrough that happen. And, Lord, when the story of the revival and the awakening that you're doing right now is written, Lord God, that this is a part of that story, God. And I just pray, Lord, right now that as much as every person stepped out beyond themselves this weekend, Lord God, that, Lord, that what they poured out is, Lord, that you're pouring so much more back into them because of it, Father. And so we just bless them right now in Jesus' name, Lord. I also thank you, Father God, that right now, I just thank you, Father God, that even the people that weren't able to make it here yesterday, God, that because we're one body, and what one part of the body experiences and is blessed by, the whole body gets to enjoy the benefits of it. And so, Father, we just thank you right now that every single person here, Lord, is able to receive and share in the testimony, share in the blessings, Lord God, of what you're doing in this place, Lord God. And we just bless them right now in your name, Jesus. We just bless you for greater things, Lord God. And Lord, just thank you, Lord. We just ask this right now in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give him praise. If you need prayer for anything whatsoever, come find one of these folks and they're going to pray for you. Otherwise, service is dismissed. We love you guys.